Welcome to the Couple Money Podcast. If you're looking to become financially free together, this is your show. Here's your host, Elle Martinez.
Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Couple Money Podcast. One of the biggest fears people have is losing their job. It impacts families more than just their finances. Your job can also be a source of identity and security. Having that gone can create a huge source of stress. The good news is that it is possible to bounce back. It's not going to be fixed with a snap of a finger, but you can find a better solution. How to find that solution is the tough part because you're in the middle of everything trying to keep your head above water. That means the best way to prepare is to do it now when you don't have a layoff hanging over your head. I'm going to show you ways to update your resume, to make sure your offline and online networking systems are tip-top shape, and believe it or not, I'll introduce you to a guide to help engineer your layoff if that's the route you want to go. With that in mind, I'm so happy to have Eric on the show today to share his story. A few years ago, he was faced with a layoff, and instead of panicking, he came up with a game plan that not only helped him get his next job, but a $6,000 raise. I'm also going to wrap things up with some sites and services that can help you brush up on your skills and stay connected. All right, let's get started. No matter what stage you are in your career, being proactive is the way to go when it comes to finding your dream job. I'll share some tactics that you can use to make yourself a more attractive candidate, and I'll talk about the strategy behind them. It can be frustrating to get a resume ready when it seems like recruiters and managers breeze by them, but having one can be the calling card to get you the job you want. According to Matt Tarpey, an advisor with Career Builder, it's still essential. One of the biggest mistakes people make with their resume is not sitting down beforehand and defining what kind of work they're looking for and what kind of company they want to be a part of. This is an important step because you cannot craft a resume for a job unless you understand what they're looking for and how your skills line up with what they need. With that complete, you can now turn your attention on polishing up your resume. You want to go over your resume with a fine-tooth comb to remove typos and grammatical errors. It sounds obvious, but it still happens far too often. Don't disqualify yourself over an easy fix. Think like a recruiter when you're designing your resume. You want to stick to the essentials and the facts. You have about 5 seconds to make an impression, so don't clutter your resume with fluff. Draw attention to your outstanding skills and be very specific with your achievements. If possible, go ahead and give examples of where you saved the company money or made the company money. Have an online copy of your resume. Should someone in your network think of you when a job comes up, having a resume they can quickly print out and give to the decision maker is invaluable. If you haven't already, you also want to update your LinkedIn profile. LinkedIn is a popular professional networking site. Perhaps you signed up years ago after hearing about it, but haven't checked in a while. I've been guilty of this, but after talking to Eric and hearing how LinkedIn helped him, I went ahead and updated my profile. I searched for advice to help make my page more productive for potential jobs and found some steps that you can take to maximize your profile's reach and value. Tailor your profile. Don't take the easy route and simply fill in the blanks with your jobs. Make sure your profile fits your career aspirations. If you want to move up or laterally, review and update your profile to reflect that. Make it easy for people to see you in your next position. Put your best face forward. Don't just use a photo for your profile. Include them with your updates. Viewers are more likely to click on them than with a text-only update. Highlight your expertise. As you create your page, make sure you highlight your specific talents and make sure you use keywords that recruiters are more likely to search for. Show them that you're the expert. It's not enough to tell people what you know. You can demonstrate it through your updates. Establish yourself by writing relevant articles about your industry. Be in the thick of things. Join and participate in groups that you can meaningfully contribute to and learn from. Don't just take, give. Make yourself available to help others with their career. Do you know a job opening at your company? Think of someone in your network who would be a great fit and share it with them. Even if they're not interested in this particular job, they now know that you're keeping an eye out for them. Speaking of other people, the last area you should be working on continuously is the most important, and that's your network. Resources like LinkedIn and job search sites are important in today's market, but they're not as effective if you don't have a strong network. Focus your energy on helping others to be successful. Keep your ears and eyes open to opportunities, not just for you, but others. Set aside time each day to network. Don't just wait for big events to reach out. Make time each day to connect with one or two people, checking in on them, seeing how they're doing, and asking if there's anything you can do for them. Make it personal. If you can, have lunch with them. Give them a call or email. Learn to listen. When you're networking, make the other person feel valued by listening carefully. Just don't go for the superficial small stuff. Ask about them. Share your passions. Don't expect others to read your mind. Go ahead and share your passions and goals with your network. With the word out, you make it easier for others to help you. If you're shy by nature, you may worry that you can't network properly, but that's not true. You most likely already have all the skills, but you don't know how to use them. Keith Ferrazzi's bestseller, Never Eat Alone, is an incredibly helpful read. It can help you jumpstart your network and make some genuine connections with others. Hopefully, you won't be faced with the layoff, but by taking these steps, you'll put yourself in a better position to bounce back. Up next, Eric from Narrow Bridge Finance shares his story about a looming layoff and how he found a better job from it. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We're talking today with Eric, founder of Narrow Bridge Finance. He has managed to take a downside and make it into a plus. But to be honest, Eric, when I first saw that tweet, I wasn't surprised. You are a hustler.
I do what I can. I try my best.
I mean, I don't know how you juggle it all. You have your day job. You've been blogging for, has it been 8 years now? About?
Yeah, or sounds about right. Okay. I haven't had my finance blog quite that long, but my first blogs I ever started were in 2006, I believe. So it's been been a couple of years.
Yeah, and you've done flash mobs, you've run Ignite at FinCon for the last couple of years, and you're even a DJ.
So. Yeah. I try to keep busy. You know, it's all fun stuff. You know, I find that I have a lot of passions, but if you do something you enjoy, it doesn't really feel like work.
That's true. And that's one reason I'm excited. I really think that you can help people out. We can't always control our circumstances, but we can control our reaction to them.
Definitely.
So why don't you just start? How did this layoff happen? How did you find out about it?
Sure. So I was working at a big telecom company in Denver, one of the bigger employers in the state. And if any of you guys know what the telecom world is like, there's a lot of mergers and acquisitions. It's a pretty volatile place, so there's never a surprise when a company buys another. And when they do that, they look for synergies, which, if you don't know what that means in the merger and acquisition world, it means finding people you can lay off. So that's that's a big part of what mergers and acquisitions are all about. So I was working in my last job at this company was in the treasury department, so I was around all the big hotshot finance people in the company. And one week, I remember a bunch of the very important people were all gone at the same time, which never really happened. Mm. So I knew something was up. I mean, like the VPs and up, everyone was all gone. So I knew something was going on. And I was talking with my coworkers, and we figured we were actually buying one of our smaller competitors that was kind of on the market at the time. We and our group kind of knew what was going on and what companies were buying and selling. So we thought we were in the buyer chair. And that Friday morning, about a week later, I turned on the local news. It was 9 News in Denver. And there was an article, or not an article, it's TV. There was a story showing that my company had been bought by a competitor, a bigger competitor from Louisiana. And we were going to be, they call it a merger, but you know, it's clear there's always a buyer and a seller, and we were the one being bought. And that was how I found out. It was from the news. It was not from anyone at work. And that, it was quite a shock. It was actually kind of funny. That day, the whole company in the Denver office was doing junior achievement, which is a, you go into classrooms and teach young people something about personal finance to help them on their journey, usually at low income schools. Mm-hmm. So there were a whole bunch of us from the headquarters office who had just found out this big news on the news that morning, showing up at schools around Denver, knowing that something big's going on. So we weren't even in the office that day.
That has to be quite a shock to learn it that way through the news. And did you get any texts or emails from your bosses while you were going about the day? They must have saw it.
Yeah, eventually there were emails okay. that came from the CEO all the way down to our department heads. So they did tell us, but because it was a publicly traded company, they actually couldn't by law tell us all first.
Gotcha.
Because if they did that, we could, you know, go buy a bunch of stock and then say, oh, we're about to be bought. And then the stock went up the next day, which was no surprise to anybody. So they had to keep that information confidential. So I understand why they didn't tell us. That still doesn't mean it didn't hurt a little bit to find out on TV that my job was going to be in jeopardy.
Yeah.
So that was how we found out. But what I did next, you know, wasn't, I knew that being purchased didn't mean I was going to be, you know, laid off instantly or, you know, necessarily at all. But it's a highly likely thing that happens in this kind of situation, particularly mm-hmm. if you work in finance, because no company needs two sets of finance people. It's part of why you merge. You save some money. And there's a few departments like that, marketing, legal, finance, accounting, all the kind of HR, the headquarters type jobs. Those are ones that usually go away. The people who are out installing phones and internet, those guys were pretty safe. So they didn't care that much. It was just the guys at the headquarters like me that were possibly going to be losing their jobs. So I always try to put my thoughts before my emotions, if that makes sense, be more intelligent than my emotions. So I knew, I felt, oh, this isn't good. I knew that you can get ahead of this kind of thing. It happens to thousands of people. Just you can pull up the news. This has happened many, many times. And I just wanted to position myself to be ready if something did happen. And that was what I did next. So I started by, you know, sprucing up my LinkedIn profile. That's always a good place to start. And I think that's something that's really smart for anybody who's going to have any sort of job search coming up or anybody that's a professional that isn't even looking for a job, because you never know who's going to find you. Recruiters often look there. So if you have an in-demand skill set, they could try to court you away from a current job even, and, you know, raises often come with that. So that's always a nice thing. So keep your LinkedIn profile always up to date. But if you think there's going to be a job loss in the future, definitely do that quicker and make
that's
it
a smart move.
And you can do the same thing with your resume. I mean, you're not putting your resume usually out on the internet for people, especially if you have a job that you don't want to let them know that you're looking at leaving. Mm-hmm. But it's good to have that in hand. So over the next few months, we had a few sets of meetings, even got to meet the CFO of the new company once it was merged, which was kind of cool to meet some high-level folks like that. But at the end of the day, I could kind of read between the lines that they didn't want to do what my team was doing anymore once the merger closed. So that was my sign that that the writing was on the wall. I was going to be let go at some point. And after I left, actually, my whole team did get let go. So it was good. I was proactive about this. I didn't get stuck in the net with everyone else. But I put my information out there. I started looking around, and it was a few weeks later, totally out of the blue, a friend from my MBA program sent me a note on LinkedIn, actually, saying, "Hey, Eric, it's been a while. Haven't talked to you. I'm at another telecom company now, and we're looking for a finance guy with telecom experience. Are you interested?" And that was the beginning of what led to multiple drives up to what became my new company for a few different rounds of interviews for different positions. I first interviewed for two positions on the same day, which I was kind of ambushed by that. I thought I was interviewing for one.
Okay.
So I showed up, and they had multiple different managers and directors ready to interview me, and I was put in for two jobs. And ended up getting emails that I didn't get either. So I was kind of bummed by that. But I thought, okay, well, you know, you keep moving on. And about a month later, that same friend sent me a note, said, another position opened up. We want to talk to you again. I said, oh, well, so something else. So I came back, interviewed with some of the same people, and it turned out that I got a position higher than the one I originally interviewed for. So they'd talked to me. Yes, they'd first talked to me about a financial analyst. This one was a financial analyst too. So paid a little more, a little higher up on the food chain, and that became my new job. I was there for 3 years. It was a great place to work.
Well, congratulations. That's really good. You must have somehow just clicked with them if they got you back a third time. But you know, you're the hustler, so you can adapt pretty quick on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think interviewing is it's definitely more of an art and a science. You can't just go in there and just put the facts down that won't work. You can't wow somebody with that unless you're doing something like engineering. Mm-hmm. On the other side, it's not all just sweet talking people. They want experience and skills, and they want to know what you're going to contribute. So when you go into those interviews, it's very important to, let your real personality come out. You don't want to like them and them to like you. That's a huge part of your job. You don't want a job where you're not going to like the people you're working with. And then the same thing, you want to really, it's for you to show off. So you really want to get your skills out there and talk about what you can bring and contribute. And if you really read through the job posting, you can speak to each of those points. So it's good to, bring notes in for those interviews. So I did for every single one, and something worked.
Fantastic. Well, glad you were prepared. I wanted to ask you something because you just mentioned, you were aware you weren't going to be immediately laid off. So there was a couple months in between that time, and some of your colleagues from the former team were kind of caught in the net. How proactive were you once you found out about the merger versus maybe your coworkers, or were they trying to hustle as much as you? It just turned out that you had gotten a job first.
I think I was the newest guy on that team and one of the newer guys at the company for mm-hmm. the group I was working in. So a lot of them were very comfortable and weren't in any big rush to get out of a place that they'd been for. Actually, my manager there had been at the company over 40 years. So it was a big thing for him to leave. He hadn't actually really worked anywhere else since he was a kid. And there was a severance plan that they did eventually announce for anyone who would be laid off, that you'd get at least 3 months paid, which would have been what I would have qualified for. Mm-hmm. And if you'd worked there longer than 3 years, you'd get 1 month per year of service up to a certain limit. So a lot of the people on my team were going to get these pretty big severances, often a bunch of them a year or more paid. So okay. They had a little time to find something new. I was thinking, well, 3 months, this was a time the economy was not so hot. They had, Wall Street had just let go a ton of finance people. So I knew I had a lot of competition out there. And I thought, that's not worth risking a nice 3 month vacation to look for a job then. I thought I'd be better off if I was more proactive. So I think I was probably the most proactive on my team. But again, this one came to me. I didn't come to it. So it just, I think it was a good karma thing. If you're a good person and you take the right steps, eventually something might come right for you. And that's how this happened.
Yeah. Not only a good person, but a prepared good person. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, I had that LinkedIn profile ready. It was very clear my friend from the MBA program, which is a big part of why networking is so important. I wouldn't have had this job at all if it weren't for my network, but he was able to go on, print out my LinkedIn profile like a resume, take it to his boss and say, here's this guy I went to school with. I think he'd be a great fit. You want to talk to him? And that's what got me in the door.
Great. You know, a lot of people, since you mentioned networking, just real brief, they get nervous like, well, how do I do it? Keep tabs with the network, especially if you've been working for a few years. What's your method for keeping your network fresh?
Sure. So when I used to think of networking, I thought of this kind of like broad term, like people think of like the cloud for computers. There actually are computers out there. but networking is the same thing. It can be easy to think of it as this like big grand thing, but it's really just maintaining relationships and connecting with people and trying to stay in touch where you can. And I think one of the best things you can do is offer to help people and put yourself out there as a resource for them. And that way, if they do come to you, do help them. Don't just, you know, don't think about what's in it for me. Think about how can I help other people? Because then they'll come to think of you when an opportunity comes up. Or if you have helped them before, if you do need help, you can come back to them and, you know, ask for help. And it's not like you're just a taker going me, me, me. So, you know, definitely be helpful and in your community and everybody you know. And, you know, what goes around comes around. So when you need help, they'll all be there for you.
Most definitely. Thank you so much, Eric. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your story, and definitely a great example of just because bad news comes your way or is about to come your way doesn't mean you can't prepare and come up with some kind of plan. And your plan was great.
Yeah, and at the end, I ended up with a $6,000 raise. So it wasn't just an equal, it was a step up. And you can always find a way to not just find the best of a bad situation, but make it a good situation.
That's very true. That's fantastic. Thanks so much, Eric. Everybody, if you haven't already, please go to Narrow Bridge Finance, sign up, and get Eric's updates. He always has some good practical financial advice. And if you're looking to increase your hustle, he is the perfect guy for that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. I really appreciated Eric sharing his story and his tips on how to survive a layoff. And I'm so glad that he found a job that gave him a raise and was better suited for his talents. What if, though, you're like his colleagues and you're thinking of going for the severance package because you've worked with the company for many years? Are you worried that you're not going to get a fair deal? Do you wonder if you're not going to have any room for negotiation? There is a guide out there that can point you in the right direction, How to Engineer Your Layoff. It was written by Sam from FinancialSamurai.com. His ebook discusses how the right severance package can soften the blow of a job loss and provide a way for you to prepare for your next steps. It goes over establishing a plan to switch careers and maybe you want to retire. It provides you with multiple strategies on how to maximize your severance package. And it'll teach you how to leave your company without burning bridges. It's very detailed, but it can be a wonderful resource for someone trying to optimize their exit on better terms. I'll have my full review linked on the show notes, along with some articles Sam's written on severance packages, so you can check it out yourself. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please let me know what you think by emailing me at l@couplemoneypodcast.com. You can also send in questions and ideas for future topics. If you'd like to get this weekly podcast sent to you as new episodes come up, please subscribe. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. If you prefer your own player, I also have the RSS feed right on couplemoneypodcast.com. Show notes are up for this episode, so you can be better prepared should a layoff come up in the future. I've also included links to Eric's story and tips on how you can update your online and offline resumes and network. Like Eric pointed out, be known as someone who helps others, and you'll have an easier time getting some help when you need it. Thank you again for listening. I hope you join us next episode when we talk to Julie from The Family CEO. Determined to make sure their daughter didn't finish college with student loans, they came up with a plan for her to get a degree completely debt-free. Take care. Have a wonderful day.